It's just knowing our operator. Thank you very much, Howard. Well, when it comes to the subject of food, it's always of interest to the Jewish people. I'm sure you know the story about the difference of the Jews and the Gentiles, who at the end of the evening show are going out. That's right. One Gentile says to the other, "Drink, drink." And one Jew says to the other, "Have you eaten yet?" On this Siman in Kuf Ayin, which we're going to discuss, the Aruch HaShulchan brings down that the character of a person can be recognized b'kiso, b'koso, u'v'kaso. The character of a person can be recognized by b'kiso, the way he spends his money, b'koso, the way he drinks, b'kaso, and according to his temperament. Well, we're going to concentrate today more on b'koso than anything else. And the rules of etiquette are laid down. There is in fact a Masechta called Masechta Derech Eretz. We're going to concentrate on the handout given to you, which is Siman Kuf Ayin of the Shulchan Aruch Arachayim. We're going to do a little bit of the Mishnah Berurah, but we'll add on bits and pieces as we go along. The general rule of thumb is not to do anything which might upset others at the table, which might appear repugnant to others at the table. If you have guests, to make them feel at home and make them feel comfortable, and not to abuse them. The story is told about Rabbi Akiva Rega, who had guests at the table, and a guest accidentally knocked over a glass of wine, spilling it all over the nice white tablecloth, and immediately, as it happened, he knocked over his own glass and spilt it on the tablecloth and said, "Oh dear, we must do something about this shaky table that we've got." Anything to reduce embarrassment from the guest. We'll start off with the beginning of Siman Kuf Ayin. Aleph Ein Masichin Besuda. Masichin is chatting. That you don't talk while you're eating. It's unhealthy. Why? Shemo Yaktin Konolavesh. You might choke on your windpipe. Something will go into it. But even somebody who is sneezing basuda, Osulom al Asuta. You don't say to him, "Bless you." I turned on my mobile phone Friday morning and there was a text message on it, and it said on it just two words, "Bless you." Who on earth is this from? It was one of my children who had heard me sneezing in another room. Very loudly. So maybe we should enter in the white spaces and the margins, which has space for our own perishim, that v'yesh omrim v'mokam she'ein omrim v'mokam se'ein v'sichem v'suda yesh ishkach text message. Okay. If we look in the Mishnah Berurah at the bottom, aleph ein v'sichem v'suda afilu divrei Torah. Even if you're going to talk words of Torah, but this is specifically talking about at the time of eating gufo itself. Because it's dangerous. The kama, as we say later on, but between the dishes, mutter. It is allowed. The mitzvah kol adam milmad Torah shulchana, and it's a mitzvah for everybody to learn Torah at the table. Shekol shulcham shalom olav divrei Torah. Anyone who sits at the table where there was no divrei Torah spoken, ki ilu ochlu mezivchei meisim. It's as if one is eating from and is bayach of the dead. Kosaf v'shloh, the Yimad Mishnah, Ahalacha, Ahagodah, Sifrei Musa. So one should make a point when one sits at the table and has the meal to learn something, a Mishnah or Ahalacha or Ahagodah story, a bit of Musa, the Eina Yotzeh B'mashem B'rach B'chasamozo. And saying that one will bench, that's not called Divrei Torah. I'll call upon him. In any case, Yama is a Mizma, so maybe one says a little Tehillim. B'tov l'ma'acha b'chasamotzi, Mizma Hashem Roi L'echzor. It's a nice thing to say after washing for motzi. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. It's not just the Dvar Torah, but it's also a prayer on one's mazonos, on one's parnosa. The commentaries actually note on this that nowadays people are not so particular about not talking. People do talk. You shouldn't really talk while there's actual food in your mouth being chewed. But people are not so careful about it, and the suggestion is given by the Aruch HaShulchan that maybe it's because nowadays we're not reclining on couches when we eat, and there may be less risk when we're sitting upright. Nevertheless, the Kitzur does bring this down, and the Kitzur was written in more modern times. And the Kaf HaChaim brings down the Zohar. He says even between the courses one should be careful how one is speaking. If one speaks, one should only be talking Divrei Torah or matters relevant to the meal. So common sense prevails. Ein Masichin Sfusuda, one certainly does not talk with one's mouth full. It's not only considered a danger by the halacha, but it's also considered not so nice and impolite. So the thing about leaning we see in the Shari Teshuva, actually, you've got there a column there, the middle column, the cross of Beli Rabba b'shem ha'prisha da idna. Nowadays she'ein choshin nazeh, we're not too worried about this, l'fi she'ein ha'chashash rach machmas shor da'akom lechol b'esibo. And then he says the cross of Rebbe l'fi zeh b'lel Pesach on Seder night k'shachilo b'esibo, because you are leaning yesh lizai b'zeh, then you should be more careful. Although the svar of leaning on the left is that it's not likely to harm you. But as you look at the end of that Shari Teshuva, he says, avoid not the doshu barabim, people step on this, they don't really take it so seriously. And really, one shouldn't distinguish between the Pesach and other days of the year. That's the Taz. Okay. We'll skip over a few bits, because we won't manage to do this whole sermon, and we're going to concentrate on our topic of table manners. So we're going to jump over to Sif Beis. Sif Beis Shnayim Mamsin Zeh Zeh. Now this is talking about when two people are eating from the same bowl. Not a common practice nowadays, but we'll skim over that. Two people that they're eating from the same bowl, so one should really wait for the other. Kasha echad masalik yodam in akro. When one removes his hand, lishos, he wants to have a drink and stop, then asusa, bless you, gesundheit. Someone sent him a text message. So if a person wants to drink, chaverim mafsik, then the other person, out of politeness, should stop eating from the bowl. Until the other person has stopped drinking. But if there are three people eating from the bowl, so that is a general principle, but we can look into one or two comments which follow from this. The idea is one should have respect for the other person who's eating as well. Gimel. The Kaf HaChaim, by the way, says that if you have separate plates, you're not required to stop. If you're all eating with your own separate dishes and one person stops for one reason or another, then you can still carry on. Gimel, Masharin Peah the Ka'ora. One leaves over a little corner of one's plate, a little bit of one's food. Kol HaKod Me'ochlim, every bit of the type of food. V'machol HaShamosh. Yeah, well, we'll explain this in a moment, but the Shulchan Aruch is saying, yes, if you've got meat and two veg, you leave over a little bit of the meat and a little bit of each veg. And the purpose of this is that the Shamos who is serving on you, the poor fellow has not had anything to eat himself, so you leave something over so that he's got something from the leftovers. But when the shamash takes out from the original dish, which is a casserole sort of dish, he doesn't leave over any of it for himself. Now, certainly nowadays we don't do this kind of thing at all. We don't provide for the shamash, but it's midas chasidus to give him straight away something to make sure that when you sit down to eat, he's got something as well. No, that's something else. Now the Kaf HaChaim says that nowadays there's no dinner of a shamus, as we say here. But what about poor people? I mean, you might get poor people coming. Well, they should be given their own plate. It is polite to leave over something, says the Ben Ish Chai, but not for anybody like the Shamus or the poor, but simply to show that you're not being greedy, that you're not a Ravson, that you're not chalishing to eat up everything which is in your sight. And therefore, when you are eating as a guest somewhere, it is polite maybe to leave over a little bit, to show that you are not a glutton. Yeah, but that because it's politeness, then that overrides the Baal Tashchis. That's not called then Baal Tashchis. Yeah. This rule then, according to the Reish HaShulchan, applies to somebody who's a guest who is not paying for the meal. If you're in a restaurant, then you eat everything up if you want to. But when you are hosted by a Baal HaBayis, it's different. However, on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, we do not assume gluttony on those days, because you're eating Mishum Onei Yom Tov, and you're eating because of the Simcha of Yom Tov, and therefore, even according to that Aruch HaShulchan, you don't have to leave anything over. Alright, they say it's a good way of dieting to leave something over. Well, according to this, you're a non-paying guest, then it's correct to leave something over. But then you don't have to leave something over from each one of the dishes, but just a little bit of one of the dishes.
What happens if it doesn't happen? They don't drink the end of a cup of tea. It's superstition.
It's
bad luck.
I didn't know.
Yeah. You don't even ask Christy whatever it is from an old man.
Well, this is for halakhic reasons. Right, we're going to jump over to Dalet. You don't stare into the face of somebody else who is eating, and you don't look at his portion to see what he's got or what he's eating, because otherwise it will embarrass him. Now, if you are sitting in front of your Rebbe and you want to watch how he behaves and you want to learn from his polite ways, that is allowed. But you don't generally stare at somebody's portion and say, oh, look what you've got. Oh, it's not fair, I got less than you. That is totally improper. One just gets on with whatever one has and one doesn't complain. We'll go now on to hay, and we'll spend a bit of time on hay. Hanichnas labayis, somebody who enters a house as a guest, kol mash yomer balabayis yaseh, whatever the host says to you, you shall do. Okay, you are subservient to your host, you have to do as you are told. And we're looking to the Mishnah Berurah, which is Tes Zayin. So it's about halfway down towards the end of the line, Tes Zayin. Have we got there? Tes Zayin. Kol ma sheyoma, haino afilu dovah sheyesh bo ketsas gasus shaharon. Even if he asks you to do something which might involve some haughty form of action which you don't want to do in your humble way, you might not want to do because of humility. Like he asks you to get up and sing a song or give a speech, so you will do as he says. But if the guest has something which one likes to avoid, a precious means a chumrah, because for some reason of perfection you want to avoid, say, eating a certain food, she'osa mishum serach isur, because you might then come to do something wrong, ein lechuv lishma l'balabais, you don't have to listen, lava al dava shu perishus be'alma, you don't have to listen to him if you for any reason don't want to do what he suggests you do. Torah gevel l'astimasa, but it's good for a person to hide his own chumras, that is to say, if you practice a certain chumrah at home, I don't know, you don't want to
mix seating.
I don't want to get involved in anything that's traditional. If you want to practice precious, then it's correct. When you go to somebody's house and the seating is mixed, then you join in the Yesh Lahem Al Mishnah Yismochu. Okay, there might be a Shelah Brachos where there's a different opinion, but the examples I was thinking of was, what if you don't like the hechsher of the food? You go to a house, although you knowingly know what you might be getting, and what if you have doubts about the hechsher? you have a principle that you will only eat the heksher from the Sephardi Kashrut authority, and you will never eat kadasya. I shouldn't say this in an adas shul, but as an example, what's the deal? Can you say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to eat because I don't rely on your kadasya heksher, and I'm sorry, but I can't eat from such places, I better not say. What's the deal? The halacha is brought down by the Piskei Tshuvos. If the heksher of the balavais is one which most Haimish type people who are Yirei Hashem rely on, then you have to rely on it, whether you like it or not. But if it's one where there are certain doubts and sfeikas and rumours going around about the Shomrim being Mechalalei Shabbos or whatever, then you are justified in saying, listen, I don't wish to rely on that heksher.
I'm sorry? I thought you have to rely on the Cheskos Kashrus of the base.
Yeah,
you suspect that things are going wrong. You can't just go around and say that things are going
wrong. Well, then, yeah, according to that, you're entitled at home not to rely on that Hechsher, but when you're eating out, if the Yirei Shemaim rely on the Hechsher, then you have to rely on that Hechsher.
Michael, for example, if
we've
got a reform shul and
they bash, we're talking about Orthodox Judaism.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. There is no reform
principle.
All of them are Orthodox Jews. Yeah. Can you turn around?
I once heard from Ephraim Halpern that if you see an Ashkenazi Jew walking in the street without any yarmulke or covering on his head, you don't eat in his house. If you see a Sephardi Jew walking the street without a yarmulke on his head, but he still keeps other things, he lays tefillin, he davens, he keeps Shabbos, you can eat in his house.
Because?
They're still particular about kashrus, and they never had it handed down to them, the importance of covering them. So, there are obviously parameters to be drawn here, it's not a general rule.
That's the state of a different generation, though.
Well, without getting drawn into this, every synagogue body in this country refers a potential ger to the London Beis Din, and they accept the gerus of the London Beis Din, and every Orthodox body accepts the gittin of the London Beis Din, and if you don't accept the gittin of the London Beis Din, then we would end up with mamzerim, chas v'sholom. So there is no doubt whatsoever that all the Orthodox bodies accept the London Beis Din. Okay? That I'm going to stop there. The rest is censored. As we were discussing before this year started, everybody will have respect for the Rav to whose shul they belong. And if there is a machlokis l'shem shemaim, we will respect it, just like we have machlokis in the Gemara, we have machlokis in the Poskim, so we have machlokis nowadays. We will have respect for all parties, and we will have respect and follow the Rav of our own shul. Now, what's happened with the Chofetz Chaim, who was sitting as a guest at a dinner, and the host came up to him and asked him to sit at the top table, and he refused. So the host said to him, how can you refuse? It says in the halacha, kol omer lecha bal habayis aseh, that anything that the bal habayis tells to you, you have to do. Therefore, why don't you go and sit at the top table? So he said, it doesn't just say, kol omer lecha bal habayis aseh. It also then says, kol omer lecha bal habayis aseh, chutz mitzeh, except for, get out. If the host says to you, get out, you don't have to listen to him. So he says, I'm not telling you to get out, I'm telling you to sit at the top table. He said, yes, but it says in the Mishnah, if you give a person kavod, it's taking him out from the world, you're telling me to go out. Since you're giving me kavod, and therefore I'm entitled to decline your offer. Now, the rule of listening to the bal habayis applies only if you're actually sitting at a meal, or if you are sleeping in the house. I was once lodging in a house in Vienna for a wedding, and the hosts thought that I must be so hungry, they insisted I take a whole bowl of fruit with me to my bedroom. And I didn't want to. I said, no, thank you very much, that's all right. No, you must. So what do I do? Okay, I took it with. But if you are just visiting somebody and you're not there for a meal, if somebody says to you, do this, do that, or the other, then you don't have to listen. The rule of Kara Amalacha Balabai does not apply. I once had a friend who was giving lifts to elderly people, and he took this old lady home, and she said to him, in a real East End fashion, take an apple. And he didn't want an apple, so he said, no thank you. And she said, take an apple. And she, about six or seven times, take an apple, like an army order. And you decided, okay, I'll take the apple. But really, one hasn't got to listen la halacha when one is merely on a visit. Indeed, even when one is at a meal, the question is, if you think that the food which the host wants to give to you might not be good for you, might harm you, are you allowed to decline that food? Now, in the case of pas, if it's bread, which is the staple food, it's written, this is in the Ramoin Yerodeah, so it's not here in front of you, that when it comes to the case of pas akum, that you are particular not to eat pas akum, bread baked by a non-Jew. But mikadin, if it's kosher and there's no trace ingredients and it's greased okay in the tins, you can eat the ikadin pas akum. So if the host says to you, eat it, and you don't want to, then you should eat it, because bread is a staple diet, you don't want machlokas, you don't want any arguments, you want a nice, peaceful and harmonious atmosphere. But if there's any other food, if there's some other food like chemas akum, like butter, which is of the akum, if you don't want to eat it because of some reason, that you feel you like a butter with a heksha, even though that butter is 100% kosher, then you are entitled to say no thank you. Which follows that if you have a certain kind of diet, whether it's the hay diet or vegetarian diet or whatever it is, the halacha says you are allowed to say to the host, look, I hope you don't mind, but I would prefer not to eat such and such foods. And that is okay according to the halacha. An interesting question would come up in the Shemitah year. If your host serves food and the host relies on the Heter HaMechira of the sale of Eretz Yisrael to a goy, which would then in theory allow one to eat Shemitah produce, and in the Haredish world this Heter is not relied upon, what's the din? Are you allowed to say to the host, look, I'm very sorry, I do not wish to eat this food because I do not rely on the Heter HaMechira? From the principles we've discussed, it's clear that you can say to the host, I'm sorry, look, don't be offended, I'll eat the eggs, I'll eat the fish, I'll eat the meat, but I'd prefer to avoid the vegetables because I don't rely on the Heter HaMechira. You're not offending the host by saying such a thing. But the general principle behind all this is that you shouldn't be doing anything which might then lead to a machlokes. Anything which might lead to machlokes, you avoid. Now I'll tell you a little story about myself. I was once a guest at a Sheva Brachos when I was at the tender young age of 20 or 21, and it was in a household which followed the Minhogim of Chabad. So after the Sheva Brachos, we were davening Maariv, and I was standing near the front, and I couldn't help noticing that we were all davening towards a very, very large portrait of a very famous man, the Babbage Rebbe, Zeichet Tzadik Livrucha, and it didn't feel right. You don't daven to a picture, such a picture. There's halakhas about this. It can look a bit idolatrous. So without even thinking, as the Shemone Esher was started, I went up to the picture and I turned it round. Eschatarai ani mazkir hayom. I couldn't help noticing at the time that there were certain noises such as and no, but I then got on with my Shemone Esra. Well, I don't think I'll go into graphic detail as to what happened afterwards, but suffice it to say that there were a number of sparks flying into my direction, and I felt as though I was lucky to get out of the place in one piece. Now, the question is, did I do right or did I do wrong? You can't daven to such a picture. So I thought, I'll ask a shaila, and I asked my Rosh Yeshiva, I said, look, did I do the right thing or the wrong thing? You can't daven to such a picture. He said, look, the fact that it's such a great man is all the more so that you don't daven to such a picture. If it would be somebody who nobody knows, and then it wouldn't look so idolatrous. But because it's such a great man who so many people follow and he does such wonderful things, then yes, you're right, the halacha doesn't come into such a picture. But for you to turn it round, he said, you don't do anything which could start a machlokes. Even if you think you're right, and even if you feel that that picture should be turned round, you don't touch it, because otherwise you will start off a machlokes, and that's the worst thing that can happen. He said, so you daven in a different direction. But if you don't want to daven then, you can daven afterwards. But don't do something which upsets other people. I learned my lesson.
You have to tell the host that you should be daven in their parents.
Yeah, well, the host, close relations of mine, so... there was no love lost as a result, but... Anyway, I learned an experience from it.
They weren't really davening to the bee. It just happened to be the time to daven, and the bee tended to be there.
Yeah. That's right.
So they weren't consciously davening.
I think you're right. I don't think they were consciously davening towards the pitch. Yeah.
No, they weren't.
No. And we can understand their sensitivity.
Try to avoid davening in front of a picture or mirror.
That's not a matter.
You've got to know how to get home. That direction, you should always try and avoid.
It wasn't a sign from the pit on that wall for that reason. It wasn't like a cross on the wall or something. It wasn't like that.
Yeah.
Why would it have been bigger than that? Yeah.
Well, we'll move on. We'll move into halacha vav. Lo hei adam kapton. The person should not be irritable or short-tempered at the Seuda in the meal. The Mishnah Brura in Yud Ches says, Mipnei Shemoneh Balabaisa says Klum La'Niim. People at the table might feel intimidated that if there are poor people who come, that they are reluctant to give. Mipnei Yiras Kapnin, also because he's a bit miserly and he's a bit irritable. Vod Ki Ha'orchim Benigrayis Misbayishim Ozlechel. People might not feel so comfortable about eating. In case he starts being particular about what food is being eaten up. A host has to be a very pleasant demeanor. Zayin, lo yachal adam prusa kebeitzo. A person should not eat a large amount in one go. One shouldn't hold in one's hand, say, more than a kebeitzo of bread, because it looks greedy. One should pick off small pieces. If one does, it looks like one is like a gobbler, one is greedy. Now, there is a modern day teshuva about this. What if you're eating something like pita bread? Nowadays people have, or what they call iraki, a very large portion in their hand which they're eating from. So the Shalas Trumas Olatiyam says in Chelek Dalud, he says, it's okay. Now, if it's the minag of the area that you eat like a pizza with fluffle, even though it's more than a kibbutz, so it's okay to eat it like that, like a sandwich. Although there is a sefer v'zos habracha which is machmir on eating this such a large portion. Okay, ches. So we're not that beneficial with time, so we're going to hurry up. Lo yishter kosel b'vasachas. If a person has a drink, one shouldn't drink it all in one go. Because again, it looks like one is like a gobbler, a greedy person. Shnayim, but you have it in two goes, derech eretz, that's the right way. Shlosha harizeh migasiruach, it looks a bit pretentious and a fussy person who will look dainty if one has it in three goes. Ah, now it does. Now we're going to ask about this. If it's... Right, if it's, let's say, if you're thirsty and you want to have a glass of water and you down it, that's okay, you can down it all in one go. If here we're talking though about a social kind of drink, so you're a guest and you're asked if you'd like to have, let's say, a whiskey. So you're given a whiskey, that's a social drink, we're really talking about that. Although if you look in the Ramah there, it says, Hagomiu b'kos koson, if it's a very small cup or glass, It is allowed to drink it in one go. Or if it's a very big glass, you can have it in three or four. Now, if it's thirst, as we said, if it's a social drink, yes, it's saying two sips. It doesn't look like you're greedy, and it doesn't look like you're pretentious. But what if it's kiddush? What if it's havdalah? What if it's seder night? Then you certainly drink in one go. Well, the lashon used in halacha is it is allowed, and it also said it is desirable that you eat it in one, and you drink it in one go. Why? That's chavivus of the mitzvah, because it shows you are endeared to the mitzvah when you drink your kiddush or your havdalah in one go. Also, it's not good that there's a hefsek at certain times, and there is also a shaila in addition that if you don't have your revias in one go, that many hold you can't make a bracha acharona afterwards. There is this thing about why is it that Jews really get drunk like the Gentiles do? It's because Jewish people might say to themselves, well, I don't know my nach bracha, my ala gefen by heart, so I won't have a revias. Melamed zechus.
If you're a guest at somebody's house,
yes, very good. We were coming to that. Let's jump, shall we? Go to the next page and look down towards the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, Tess Zion. Have we got it? That's the second last line of the main Shulchan Aruch, which is the top part of the page. Lo yishtem mehakos, one may not drink from a cup, the yitzen lachavero, and then give it to somebody else. Mipnei sakonos nefashos, because it's harmful, danger to life. The question is asked in the Shmira Shabbos Kilchosa. Rabbi Yishua Neuwe actually notes in one of his Oros, Perek Mem Ches, Orotes, he says, I notice that people at Kiddush and other things, they have the custom to pass around the cup, and I'm a bit surprised, because what about this halacha? And it seems one should avoid it. And according to that, when you make Kiddush at the head of your table, it is correct maybe to pour off first before you drink your own cheekful, or half a cheekful, or whatever it is, and then to sell around in order that you do not transmit germs. And the poskim do write about this, that big illnesses can come from this, and it is wrong to give the cup to somebody else, or at least you just put it down in front of them, you don't actually hand it to them, because if you look in the Mishnah Berurah there, it's that the person is embarrassed, that they feel that they don't really want to drink from it, and they feel obliged to drink from it because you put it in their hand. So don't put it in the hand, you can just put it in front of the Kosh Shal Bracha at the end of Mechas Hamoz, and you see cups flying around. I once went to a wedding, there were very few people there, and I was in my bachelor days. A friend of mine was under the chuppah, getting married, and after the chuppah they were passing around the actual cup which was used for the Birchas Nisuin, and they were passing it to the unmarried males. And after about 14 or 15 people had drunk from this cup, it was offered to me. So I politely declined. I said, no, thank you. And the response I had was, what? Don't you want to get married? It was seen as a segula for a person to get married to drink from this cup.
Huh? No, only white people do it. They should pour it out. No, they should do it. So give it to you.
Right, and we're going to now just summarize a few of the other halachas we were going to say, because we're short of time. One shouldn't put the food and then put it back on the table, on the tablecloth. Obviously the plate is different. The Eliyahu Rabbah actually brings down from the Shlo that you should use a fork or a spoon, to use his exact words, rather than hands, if you can. If you do use your fingers for your food, try to limit it to your fingertips. Afterwards, don't lick your fingers, but clean them on a serviette. If you are eating with your hands for whatever reason, only eat with one hand and not with two, because it looks greedy. Do not put large portions into your mouth. Be aware that food can drop on your beard. Keep your beard clean. He also says, make sure your clothes are kept clean. Talmud Chacham who has a stain on his clothes, the Gemara says, could be Chayav Misa. Do not rush your food. Eat it slowly. Chew it well. Do not bend down to your food as you eat it, but maintain an upright position. Keep the noise which you make when you are chewing or drinking to a minimum. Do not slurp when you are enjoying your soup. And these rules apply, he says, even when you are eating alone, the chadrei chadorim. You should keep to these principles. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Sif Yud Beis, and you do not spit out when you are at the table, you do not burp, he uses the word grepsen. Do not use any other bad manners which could be repugnant to others. The Gemara Chagiga says, God will judge anyone who spits out at a meal. This is not here in the Shulchan Aruch proper. It's quotes. These are things from the Eliyahu Rabbah, the Shlach, and the Aruch HaShulchan. The Gemara in Erevin, Sadi Tes, says one who spits in front of his teacher is Chayav Misa. The Siddur of Rav Yaakov Emden has a section on Hanhogos Besuda, and he there brings down that ideally you should avoid standing when you're eating. A lot of people are not makbid on it, especially at Kiddushin. But it's correct not to stand. He says definitely you may not walk while you're eating. And you should not eat until you are completely full up. Don't eat till you have a full stomach. Number one, it looks greedy, and number two, it's not healthy. One should always leave a bit of room in one's stomach left behind. We will end up quoting from the Kaf HaChaim on this rule of Kol Ha'om Lecha Bal HaBayis Aseh Chutz Mitzeh. We learned the din that if the Bala Bai says to you, get out, you don't have to listen. There is something very nice and mystical about this. The Shlach says that the Bala Bai is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to you, whatever you're told to do, do. Hashem is our Bala Bai. We do whatever He tells you to do. But if for any reason you have the assumption that Hashem is not interested in you anymore, if for any reason you believe Hashem is saying to you, get out, I don't want to know you anymore, it's not true. Chutz mitzvah. Hashem will never say to you, get out. What do you do? If you feel that you are in Hashem's bad books, then you are machnis into His house. Then you will come into His house and you will make sure that you will do what you are meant to do. And you will not get out like you think you are being told. And another thing written, which is a very suitable thing to talk about in the week of Shavuos at the time of Kabbalas HaTorah. The Shlach says that the Bala Bayis is really Chazal here. It is our rabbis who are giving us guidance, giving us takonos, giving us anhogos in the way we should behave to have a siyog laTorah. Kol Ha'om Lecha Bal HaBayis Aseh. We should do what Chazal are telling us to do. Chutz Mitzeh. Don't say, oh, I disassociate myself from the words of the rabbis because for any reason I don't understand them, I don't agree with them, because they had a good reason for doing so, to make a protection of the Torah. So we should comply with what they have been telling us, and as a result, that will strengthen the Torah. And as the Chasam Sofer says in his Perish al HaTorah on Shavuos, that the whole message which comes out from the fact that the Torah was given on the 7th of Sivan and not on the 6th of Sivan, which is the second day Shavuos, which is the Din Durabonon, there was a remez to that at Har Sinai. And the message from that is that when we receive the Torah, we were being told that the Torah will survive when we keep to the words of the Divrei Chazal. When we keep to the words of our rabbis, that is what will make the Torah survive. That is not just the Kabbalah HaTorah, but that is also the Kiyum HaTorah. And the survival of the Torah depends on that. And that's why, Kol Ha'om Lecha Bal HaBayis Aseh, what Hashem says to us we do, and what Chazal tell to us we do. And that way, we can be sure that the Torah will continue for always. Thank you.